Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And as I say every week, I will remind you again that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. And write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And we'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our Bible study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we gather around the radio and we gather around your word, Lord, we ask for the Spirit of God to be free to teach and to instruct us today. Lord, as we gather and Lord, we look into your word, might you equip us so that we can go out into the world and Lord, that we can better stand against the attacks of the enemy, better stand against those spiritual attacks that come. And I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul told us, that we battle not with flesh and blood, but we battle against principalities and powers of the darkness of this world. So, Lord, we are in a spiritual battle, and so, Father, we study your word that's alive and quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, for, Lord, that is our weapon. And so today, Father, use the message for your purpose, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Now, listen, if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up to Revelation chapter 12. We're coming back to our study of the book of Revelation. We are looking at the significant characters of the tribulation period. This is part three, and it covers chapters 12 through 14. And in these chapters, we get different events and different characters that the Spirit of God focuses on. Several weeks back, we stepped into chapter 12, where there we were able to look at several key players of the tribulation. We looked at the war on the earth, and we looked at the woman. Watch, if you would, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. So here's the woman with the moon at her feet and a crown of 12 stars upon her head. Without a doubt, the woman is Israel. And in the beginning of chapter 12, she's pregnant with a child experiencing birth pains. That brings us to verse 3, where we see the great red dragon. Verse 3 says this, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon in heaven, 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Standing before the woman is this dragon. It's Satan. The dragon doesn't describe his looks. It describes his character. And he is standing there waiting to devour the child, which the woman is about to deliver. Watch verse 4. It says, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The child is Jesus Christ, of course. Came from the nation of Israel. The entire scene here takes us back to the fall of Satan, when he took with him one-third of the angels. It takes us back to when sin entered into the world, and when God pronounced the curse and the promise of the future Redeemer who would destroy Satan. It was Satan's desire to destroy Jesus Christ because of the promise which was made in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The verse says this, Genesis 3:15. It says, I will put enmity between thee, that was between Satan and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now her seed, the seed of the woman, would be the future Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. That prophecy started a spiritual war in which Satan did all he could to destroy Jesus Christ before he was born and after he was born. He did everything he could. Here in Revelation chapter 12, John takes us on a tour into the past, the entire way back to creation, and he takes us into the future when Jesus will rule and reign in the millennial kingdom. Watch verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child. There's the birth of Christ. Here we go. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That verse takes us from the birth of Jesus Christ, then to his ascension. It also foretells of his kingdom reign. Watch verse 6. And a woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Here we see the woman who is Israel will flee into the wilderness for 3.5 years, which is the last half of the tribulation. Now as we continue, we can see why Israel must flee into the wilderness. This brings us to the next war we considered, the war in heaven. Watch 12:7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Let me stop there. Here we see that the war that took place on earth is now carried into heaven. The battle was fought between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels. This battle has everything to do with the nation of Israel. Michael is the angel who has been assigned to the nation of Israel. Daniel 12:1 says this, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So in Daniel, we find out that Michael is the angel that stands for the nation of Israel. And so whenever we come here to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, I'm going to read it again. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. That's describing the same event that Daniel is talking about in Daniel 12:1. Listen to it again. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So Daniel 12:1 and in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 are talking about the same events. There's a war. Daniel stands up and or Michael stands up in Daniel 12:1. Because he's standing for the nation of Israel. And here we see why. And it's because Satan and his fallen angels have come into the presence of Michael to fight with him. So in Jude chapter 1 verse 9, or there's only one chapter in Jude, but verse 9 says this, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So the point I want you to understand is this. Michael the archangel is the angel which has been assigned to stand for the nation of Israel. So coming back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So we know that the war that is being fought is about the nation of Israel. We're not told what kind of weapons they use. Probably Satan uses the lies that he has always used. Michael uses the word of God. Whatever the weapons are, it is a war that exists in heaven, and it is a war that is being fought concerning the nation of Israel. Watch 12:8. It says, and prevailed not. That was the dragon and his angels. They prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, here's something interesting. At this time, Satan and the fallen angels will be cast out of heaven. You see, right now, Satan has the ability to enter into a certain part of heaven. We know that from what the book of Job tells us. But at this time, they will no longer be permitted. Watch 9 and 10 of Revelation 12. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Today, Satan has access to the throne of God. But when this day comes right here, at the midpoint of the tribulation, when this day comes, he and his angels are going to be cast out and they are going to be confined to the earth. We're in these verses, we're given two insight into two missions of Satan. Number one, he's working to deceive the whole world. Watch verse 9 again. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. There's one of his missions. Satan has been busy since man was created, doing all he can to lead people down a path of deception. And we are certainly seeing it today. He does not care what people believe as long as it is not the truth. That's all he's concerned about. It doesn't matter what somebody believes. It doesn't matter how they worship, as long as it is not true worship and as long as what they believe is not the truth of God's word. He doesn't care what they believe. So since the fall of Satan, Satan has been very busy doing all he can to keep people from believing the gospel. The reason why is seen in Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel was the good news that Jesus Christ died for you, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day to save us from our sins. That's the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus died to pay for the sins of the entire world. And when somebody puts their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that blood of Christ is applied to their lives. It's applied to their account so that now they are forgiven. They're free from the power of sin. So Satan has been selling religion to the world so that man will turn its back upon salvation. So, listen, religion is not salvation. Religion, one man said, is man reaching up to God. It is man reaching up to God is exactly what it is. Salvation is God reaching down to man. Salvation is you and I trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Religion is man trying to work in order to be able to earn his way to God. There is a major difference. So, Satan's been selling religion to the world for quite some time, since really back whenever sin entered into the world. Listen to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, if you would. Listen to these verses. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, after a period of time, listen to this, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He's coming to worship God. But listen, he's a farmer. He's bringing the works of his hands. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain And to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain was religious, but he was not saved. He bought into Satan's deception that man can earn the forgiveness of sin. He refused to believe sin could only be paid for through the shedding of blood. He refused to believe that. He thought, and he believed with all of his heart, that he could earn God's forgiveness. Satan has used people who will listen to develop many false religions to bring deception upon man. There are many false religions today. 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15 says this: "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." These verses are very frightening. "For they tell us that Satan and his fallen angels can present themselves as righteous angels. So it is his mission to lead as many people as possible down the path of deception and rebellion against God." It's exactly what false religion is. It's rebellion against God, for it is a movement against the gospel. False religion is rebellion. It is a movement against the gospel. Let me help you to see another way in which Satan works today. He will attempt to deceive people with their priorities. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Listen to the verses. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself," that's Jesus, "likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them," Christ was to deliver us, watch this, "who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Satan has been using the tactic of fear to lead people into eternal destruction. There's a couple different ways to look at this verse, verse 15, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." People today live in fear of dying all the time. We know that. It's the greatest fear of mankind, fear of death. But there are a couple ways in which man does everything he can to suppress that fear. And one of the ways is by understanding that death is the absence of life. So what Satan has done is this, that he has convinced people that if they do not live life to the fullest, that they will miss out on something. So we look around today, and what we see is this. We see people that are so busy, just have their lives filled clear up to the brim with activities and with stuff. Clear up to the brim. Listen, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Satan doesn't care what you're involved in as long as you're not involved with serving God. He doesn't care. He will convince you that money is important, activities are important, sports are important. And the list goes on and on and on. So you buy into his deception. You chase whatever it is that is on the top of the list of priorities in your life. And Satan will let you go because you are too busy to think about eternity. You know what the letters of busy stand for? B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. Being under Satan's yoke. He will keep people so busy that they don't have time to think about eternity. And all at once, one day they die. They die in their sins. They die without a Savior. He doesn't just do it to unsaved people. He does it to saved people too. Jesus himself warned about living for the world in Luke 12:15-20. It says this, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this I will do. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? Satan has deceived many people and caused them to lose sight of what is important, or has caused them to buy into a false religion. He has succeeded in leading many people down a path of destruction. Say, how do you know that? Because of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7:13-14, Jesus said this, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many are on the path of destruction. That's the religious path, by the way. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Satan has succeeded in leading many people down the religious path. Deception. That's what we're told in verse 9. Which it says this, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called devil, the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Deceiveth the whole world. So many under deception. There's a second mission that he has. He is accusing the believers. Watch verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The saints in heaven are rejoicing because Satan no longer is able to come into the presence of God to accuse the brethren. Satan will do all he can to keep people from salvation. And then he will do all he can to have them stripped of their salvation. But that's impossible. It's impossible. He can't do it. But all does he try. Listen to this poem by an unnamed lady that I came across. Here's what it says. I sinned, and straightway, post haste, Satan flew before the presence of the Most High God, and made a railing accusation there. He said, this soul, this thing of clay and sod, has sinned. 'Tis true that he has named thy name. But I demand his death, for thou hast said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Shall not thy sentence be fulfilled? Is justice dead? Send now this wretched sinner to his doom. What other thing can a righteous ruler do? And thus he did accuse me day and night. And every word he spoke, O God, was true. Then quickly one arose from God's right hand, before whose glory angels veiled their eyes. He spoke, each jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled. The guilty sinner dies. But wait, suppose his guilt were all transferred to me, and that I paid his penalty. Behold my hands, my side, my feet. One day I was made sin for him, and died that he might be presented faultless at thy throne. And Satan flew away, for well he knew that he cannot prevail against such love, for every word my dear Lord spoke was true. Praise God that we have an intercessor that intercedes on our part in the presence of the Father. Let us notice how Satan is overcome. Watch 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. First of all, Satan's overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It's the only means of forgiveness. There is no other means. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are purged, are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. By the blood of the Lamb, it's the only way to be forgiven. There is no other way but to be cleansed in the blood, to come under the blood. The other way that Satan is overcome is by the word of their testimony. Others are only saved by hearing the witness of those who know Christ. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to proclaim the message if people are going to be saved. Third thing we see here is they love not their lives unto death. I put this down. Priorities in order. This is living to make a difference in the lives of others and sacrificing to make the difference. We live in a world today where people are deceived and they are searching. They're deep into sin, but the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. And let us understand that they cannot believe if they do not hear. It is our responsibility to carry the gospel into the world. It is ours. It is not ours to seek the most comfortable life that we can find. It is ours to love those around us, to be able to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, we are running out of time rapidly. We are running out of time. Every day we live is one day closer to the rapture whenever we will be out of here. Let us do all we can now while we still have opportunities to do so. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. If you would desire to hear this message or any other message, as I said before, our CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. When you write, be sure to include the date of the message that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, we see you in church, my cheerful, blessed week.